Okay, so that would be W, although I think W is in fairly good shape in terms of cash, better than as good as any other unit. National office. We are in bad shape. And it'll look to be getting worse. I wish I could at this point be optimistic about how this budget is going for this fiscal. We're going to be looking at potentially reductions in staff, or at least reductions in hours. We're going to have to be clear about what kinds of expenses we can take on next fiscal. And I'll tell you the ones I'm looking at. Our budget is, as you know, been supported by the mail drops, and it's, they have been critical because mail drops are the way that we, way in which we have had the cash on hand to support stations that can't really pay some of the health care benefits, or had a bad drive and their revenues are less than anticipated, or stations that simply can't pay their central service bills or pay their legal bills. We end up having to deal with those issues by finding other sources of revenue or by paying the bills because we get people calling asking to get paid. But the other point about this budget is how can the national office budget be created such that it does not sacrifice revenue-producing activities, that we need to be looking at revenue-producing activities. The board has a motion in that regard, but at the same time have an affordable budget. The large items that are going to be expense items in this budget, if you look at it, is the cost of free speech radio news. Tomorrow, in the OC meeting, we will be discussing free speech radio news and its cost, and looking at ways to integrate those costs into this network where we can see increase in revenue to compensate for those costs. Free speech radio news goes to $500,000. As you all know, we have been negotiating with Democracy Now!, and that contract is up for review, and there has been a proposal to increase that contract by 4%. That is an additional expense. But we're also trying to, as a result of that contract, look at ways revenue can be increased as a result of the contract by asking for a banner on Democracy Now!'s website. I won't go into some of the details of it, but there is a potential for increased revenue from the contract if we are mindful and do it well. And if we have a website, as Dave mentioned, that can handle any increased traffic that we might, in fact, have increased membership, increased listenership, increased traffic, all of that, we say, supposes that we will be able to capture any new and increased numbers of people coming to our website. And it's critical for us to have websites that are able to do that and bandwidth to accommodate that increase in traffic. The other area is, Free Speech Radio News is area number one. Area number two is trying to increase our revenue stream from the Democracy Now! Contract because it's an expense for us, as you can see. We're looking for CPB grants next year because they are a source of grants. We had several that we had applied for. They all were not accepted, but we're not giving up. I'm reducing the volume of the mail drops and basically reducing the expense as a way not mailing to as many folks, but basically concentrating on proven lists rather than prospecting. We can't afford to do prospecting anymore. Even though we do okay with the mail drops, I'm going to be very cautious. And board expenses. You all know I'm going to be making proposals about how to use the meeting expenses for the network. And as you know, we're talking now about saving money in that critical September period when no one in the network has funds by moving the New York meeting into next fiscal or moving it indeed to another station area and save the network $100,000 by doing so. And it will be a permanent savings if you were to do just that one thing, not have the meeting in September in New York. You'd save close to $100,000. And it will be permanent savings because if you wish to choose for the next fiscal and do the same thing, it goes through what we call a permanent. So those are the large dollars that are in this national office budget. And despite all of that, I still think we're going to look at some reduction at the national office anyway. So that's going to be painful for us. But we're looking at trying to reduce our course line item expenses before we go to any staff reduction, telephone, conference. conferences, travel, you name it. There's enormous pressure. The national office budget coming from the affiliates, and PRA, some folks out there. We have a national show that's in discussion. People are feeling strongly we need a national show. But the funds to produce a national show is still unidentified at this point. Anyway, that's a summary of the we will know more when the other stations finish their work, but, you know, even when they do finish their work, I still think we'll have to look at reducing the VEST budget by at least $100,000 to $150,000 in the national office, and that's where we sit. So I did KPFA. Who did I leave out? PRA. I can do PRA separately, but PRA does have the potential with a couple of its projects to increase its revenue. One of the 1968 project, which is that can be done with a premium and putting interest out there to several other sources of revenue. The other one is the BBC project, which is to say, if we as Pacifica can get that show from the vault on BBC's website with a button back to Pacifica, that can increase the number of hits on our website dramatically. Now, I'll finish by saying that one of the major areas of concern for me is that we have three or four different, if you look at budgets and you step back from the detail and you try to identify critical drivers in a budget, there are two or three in the FYLA budget. The first one is web strategy. Many of the things we're talking about are web-driven, whether it be increasing our website revenue, WPAI and other people are talking about it, whether we're talking common licensing, web assumptions behind that strategy, whether we're talking going to archives.org, whether we're talking about BBC, whether we're talking about any number, they're web-driven. And right now, I do not believe that our website configuration is adequate. Even if someone gave us $1 million, and 1 million new listeners showed up on our website, we would not be able to handle that traffic. We could not get them to sign on as members because we don't have the strength in the website area to handle any increased traffic and membership. A huge, at this point, problem for listener and membership. We are trying to address it with a national show, but boy, that is critical to do, mind you. We need to have new ways to attract listeners, new ways to reach a larger audience, and I think that 2007-2008 may prove to be a bump for us, as there usually is in the past as a guide. So audience-related activities are critical. That is to say, that's why I'm keen to identify revenue-producing activities that have a relatively immediate impact and have also the outcome that they give us a chance to increase our audience, if not our membership. So those two are key, audience building, and then there is, as I mentioned before, web strategy, and the last one is what I call capacity building. Pacifica's infrastructure, aside from the web stuff, is in bad shape. And we are looking at a couple of ideas being tossed around. Infrastructure, I mean, aside from web infrastructure, our technology, as I'm fond of saying, sometimes we don't own our broadcast equipment. It's in the hands of people who are kindly donating and allowing us to use it, and not to mention upgrades. We are not in great shape on infrastructure. We're looking at grants, of course. But we're also looking at the possibility that next year, all five stations who have capital needs, campaign needs, new buildings, could do a one-day on-the-air infrastructure all-day, raise $500,000 or $700,000 and have that money be used where it's most needed in the technology area and the infrastructure area. So those three areas, infrastructure poor, audience building activities not adequate, website and web building activities not adequate, and they will be keys for us. We have an election year, and we need all those three working well together in order to make people stand up and pay attention to what we're trying to get done. Anyway, that's my report.
A question?
Yeah.
In terms of web building activities, it seems to me like that's a natural area where we might be finding resource partners and other groups or organizations who might be willing to help in the design of that and the creation of that. And I thought that was one of the jobs of the digital distribution consultant, to be hunting for those sorts of resource partners. Is there any prospect that would be on the horizon?
Yes, absolutely. As you know, Rob has had some initial meetings. They look hopeful. And there's a good possibility that, you know, you can take the attitude that we're going to be solo artists and buy all our own infrastructure, do our own website stuff. But as you are pointing out, often it's best to look for partners who are already set up rather than having to reinvent that wheel. So I'm real hopeful there's the kind of contacts that Rob Robinson is making. And he had an initial meeting, as you know, here in Berkeley. And that's looking hopeful. But again, when a partner looks at you, the first question they have is, do you have adequate infrastructure? Is your website capability such that you can handle any increased traffic, et cetera? And you sort of have to have a plan that you can enunciate that would make them see you as a worthy partner.
And the other question is, do all our stations, as far as I understand it, all our stations or most of them contract for their own bandwidth and server space separately? And I'd be willing to bet a quarter or even a dollar that some of them are getting better deals than others. Is there any discussion of pooling resources there so that you contract for it all at once with one group that gives you the best deal and save money that way?
Well, we have looked at it, but unfortunately, last year CTB gave grants to each station to develop their websites. Grants were from about $15,000 for each station. So stations have been busy building their own station using that grant money. The next step up, which is to have a coordinated effort where all of the station websites could be utilized, is a difficult next step because they're busy concentrating on building up their own website at this point due to the grant money given them. And so how could you do it given those constraints? Well, I think we get a national website that could deal with issues that are not being currently dealt with in our websites on the local level, and I have looked into that. You may need a website that can handle a number of purposes at the same time, everything from the licensing issues to developmental issues about how can we get a website that can develop tools and then have those tools be forwarded onto the stations. That way they can see the benefit of having that kind of activity going on. But yes, it's in the infant stages, but I think that it's not something that will take a year to do. And there are a couple of people we have contacted that are interested in website connexus, as they call it. That is, how do you connect your existing website so that the sum is greater, the sum is greater than the parts? And that's sort of where things stand now. And as you mentioned, maybe you don't need to build your own website. And maybe working with partners is a more effective and quick way to get some of that work done.
I'm sorry. Jane, you had a point you wanted to make. Do you want to go ahead and make that now since we're into that discussion?
It does look like we're... Lonnie, have you been in touch with Ron and Robert as they've been going through these negotiations with a vendor locally here? Have you been privy to any of that?
Washington Convention Center?
No. For web, that's what we're talking about.
Oh, no, actually I have not.
Well, it does seem like you might have to be the point person for any type of collaboration like that, because it's a
Well, that would be good to do, but it's a touchy subject. You run into that local national issue. People feel protective of their websites, and they got their own individual people, and then.
Well, what I heard from our business manager is that they waited for several weeks. They had been. They had tried to reach somebody in national to maybe they tried to reach Pete or something, just to coordinate and then they just ended up waiting for several weeks and not ever, and it just, what I heard is it just slowed the process. They never heard anything back, and so they just decided they had to move forward. So
Can I say something? I think there should be a regular meeting of the people doing web work at each of the stations, because they're having to tackle the same problems, and I hope nobody takes offense, but you know, I think the guy, Michael, at KPFA, who's done their website, has done a really elegant job, clean lines and the rest. And rather than reinvent everything, if whoever they contract for server space with can support all of the, you know, the code, the types of code and the various scripts and things like that that he's used at the A website, then I don't understand why you can't just adopt most of that stuff whole. I mean, I understand the proprietary argument, but there's a difference between content and form, and there's no reason to be proprietary about form. If you can slot in your own programs and put in some of your own images, that's fine. But most of the work is in building, you know, the whole relationship of the site, how the directory structures, the formats, and all the rest of that. And that's just something that you can port. And
let me ask you this, Dave.
You save vast amounts of time and money and then use that time and money to do something that other people might want. So what you really need is the webmasters at each station talking to each other regularly so that they share efforts and skills, complement strengths, and fill in weaknesses.
Let me ask something, Dave. Is that a person who's on staff at A that
yes.
does that, or that was a consultant that...
Yeah.
No,
Michael,
he's
on staff.
Mancheri?
I'm sorry. I couldn't hear what you...
Yeah.
He's our full-time web worker here at KPFA.
Yeah, and he's great. I mean, again, no disrespect to anyone anywhere else in the network, but if you pop around A's website, it's a very clean... It's clean lines. It's rapid. It does all the things you'd want it to do, and I don't understand why, as long as whoever you contract for service space with supports all the code that he's using, you can't just, you know, do a whole port of those things.
He's made himself available to the web people at other stations on an ad hoc basis to share code and give advice. So, I mean, maybe this is a discussion that should happen at the operational level. I mean, if you're talking about shared hosting as a revenue-saving strategy, it might save you some money, but, I mean, in our budget, our total hosting costs are $10,000 out of a $4.5 million budget. So
It's the labor to go ahead and set up a whole set of things, and if those problems have been all solved in one place, it's really... The issue of common hosting is because different hosts will accommodate different code.
I agree with you, but that's not something we're going to throw down the budgeting process.
It kind of came in, though, because Lonnie if I understood correctly, he was pointing to the importance of the web in some of the financial things we've been talking about.
And people have been talking about also the need for more web staff. So the point is, if you can solve that by having a regular meeting of all the web people at the stations, the point that Jane brought up was one reason they're going out and starting from scratch themselves is because they didn't get a response because people are overwhelmed and it's not a normal thing. So I think it should become a normal thing that those web folks form their own operational group that at least is in contact with each other regularly.
Well, I'd advance that as a recommendation. I mean, I think it's funny. We spend considerably more money bringing board members together than staff who should be collaborating cross-network.
Exactly.
So maybe that's a budgeting consideration.
I am corresponding with Mancheri on this issue. He says he's busy, but he can make some recommendations on people he thinks could get some of the work done that we're talking about.
I'm sorry, I missed the beginning of that sentence. Lonnie, could you repeat it?
I was corresponding with a manager at KPFA. He says he's really stacked up and busy, but he could recommend someone else, other folks who could get some of the projects done that we were contemplating. So there is perhaps a way to get that done, and especially if it has direct revenue impact. And I think that we could look for ways to find money to support it.
Yeah, I mean, here's my feeling about that, Lonnie. I'm encouraged to hear you say that there's revenue potential on the web. As far as budgeting is concerned, I think that's where the conversation is now. I'm uncomfortable budgeting for any unproven revenue stream. I'd rather have it be a pleasant surprise that we start making money somewhere than count on money that may or may not come in at the level we forecast.
Well, how I meant it, though, Brian, was that increasing your capacity to have your website bring in revenue is not unproven. And where stations have focused on it, it is KPFA, for example, started focusing on it for 2 years ago, where revenues really have gone up. WBAI focused on it for 1 year, 3 years ago, raised $60,000. I think when given the attention.
Oh, but Lonnie, what we've been doing is driving people who would normally give over the phone to give online. It saves us a few hours of data entry in the subscriptions room, but it's not necessarily increasing overall net fundraising as much as the numbers you just tossed out.
Yeah, true, but some stations don't have that capability on their websites. Can't give on their websites. You can't donate. And that could be a useful tool for them.
But I think the point's well taken that just in itself...
I'm sorry.
We don't really need probably to beat it to a pulp here.
I have a couple of other issues, Madam Chair.
Sure, please. So can we just kind of get a little summary on where we're going to go with this? It's that there's various, working with Rob Robinson, our consultant, that we'll look at perhaps ways that we can achieve some economies of scale with our whole web systems, web at each station and the national office, and that we have internal resources that we think that can help. And Brian's concern is in terms of the amount of time and... And I think that in working with Rob Robinson, the consultant, I think that in terms of developing how the foundation wants to go with this and using outside resources, I think once we get a report from Rob and we're prepared to do things internally that will either produce revenue or increase revenue or reduce expenses, then we will know when we meet again what will happen.
And can I just
question?
Throw one more thing into the conversation?
Dave and Jane.
I understand that I spoke to somebody who was involved with a foundation that apparently gave Democracy Now! Something like $1 million to develop their web presence.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try and I'm going to be contacting Rob and putting him in touch with that person and that foundation.
And that's a source. That's great. Okay, Jane?
I didn't realize that the scope of work that Rob was being asked to do was so broad. I thought it was specifically for the licensing aspects of this digital distribution project. It is expansive enough that it would cover things that we've been talking about?
He's supposed to be finding out resource partners, potential resource partners, and granting agencies and identifying what kinds of things we think we can get grant funding for, and then or figuring out internally how we position ourselves to be able to demonstrate that we can have the capacity to do the things we could write grants to do. So the digital distribution is part of that, but it's not solely about that. It's about building a plan that we could get funded.
Thank you.
Two last things in my report to be done, Madam Chair. Hello?
Go ahead.
Well, the two things we have on the agenda was the issue of staffing. As you all recall, the board had referred it back to us. And I don't want to get into any personnel issues or whatever, but I do want to propose that we use our standing rules for budget adjustment and have staffing be part of the budget adjustment process because the overarching
Motion, as I recall, was holding expenses to FY07 levels. So I just wanted to bring up that was referred to us and calendarized that for perhaps our next meeting. And I would propose that we handle it in terms of as exceptions and using currently in place rules that we have for budget adjustment. The last item is the audit committee did meet with personnel, meet with finance, and they did do the financial policies and procedures manual. The question on the table is whether or not to take that manual and either have another quick review here at finance, or whether we want to forward that manual on to the board for its review and or approval. Those are the last two items that I had. To see if we wanted to tackle those, if so, when, if not.
Hello, this is Lauren. Sorry about that. For the financial, I'd say, I guess, you know, if we can get the opinion of people here on the committee in terms of, do you want to do set aside some time to go through the manual one more time, or do you want to do it as a joint meeting? I mean, what is the status with audit? I mean, did you just say they've already gone through it the last time, they're satisfied with it? Now, there are a couple of items, issues that have come up concerning how money is received at the stations and basic process, I guess, of how money should be received or taken to the station. But I don't know if we wanted to tackle that because that involves more than just the process in the station, but how you do it or who can receive it. So I don't know if that's in there. So do we want to, like, kind of set aside maybe 30 to 45 minutes and just kind of go through it to see that we're familiar with it, or set up a joint meeting again with audit? And the last time we met with audit, they asked that finance, although we're the ones who are contributing to the discussion, they asked that we read it before then, you know. But anyway, I think that we contributed a lot in terms to the discussion. So, and our secretary, Terry, took all the minutes. So what is the desire of the committee? Do you want to, like, set some time aside again, or how do we want to address this? Well, I guess we don't really want to address it, so we can just, you know, ask that Lonnie. I can just ask each one to look at it, and then if there are any questions in our meeting next week, we can bring those up at that time.
Yeah, I can add it to the manual if the committee would like to see that done. Audit is finished with it. They're busy off on another agenda at this point. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they had another meeting, and so they wanted to know what's going to happen to it. And they would like to introduce it. Remember, they consider it an audit document.
And it should be. That's what we said all the time.
Yes. So they would like to introduce it at the September meeting. And I just wanted to make sure that, you know, folks here on finance were aware of that.
Oh, that's great. That's exactly what I would like them to do, and that, again, I would just ask for our next meeting that everyone will have looked at the final. We have the final document. If you can just send that out, Alani, or the audit has that. Okay, the action is for you to send out the final document, and we'll set aside again. At this time, maybe 30 minutes. Or 15 minutes, if there are any issues or in there any changes from what we had done and from the changes that Terry had outlined in the joint meeting, and then we can proceed from there. And that's just next week.
Aside from executive session items, that's all I have.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Could you guys just share with us quickly, are there any areas of controversy that we should know about, those of us who weren't able to make that meeting?
On policies and procedures?
Yeah.
No, it's just a matter of that things are covered in a fashion that we think is, you know, that is generally accepted accounting procedures, and that, you know, and that everything flows pretty well.
Okay, thanks.
That's basically it. Okay, and... Can you hold just a minute, or can you please continue? I have to step aside for about 90 seconds. Thank you.
Well, anyway, my proposals are that at this next meeting we'll entertain motions to approve the unit budgets that are ready for approval. That we would tackle the issue of how best to implement the staffing recommendation coming from the board, what we would like to do with it or not do with it, and that we look at the financial policies and procedures manual, and those be on the agenda for the next finance committee meeting. That would mean that some stations will not be ready, and that we settle the issue of what guidelines we're asking units to observe, half month, full month, and that we have that discussion next week in conjunction with approving these budgets. And we have one more meeting after that on the 13th. And after that, that's it. By the 15th, I will be sending it out to the board for a meeting to take place somewhere on the 27th, 28th, I would assume.
Now, Lonnie, regarding the budgets, I just had a chance to look through the spreadsheet that you sent us about 25 minutes before this meeting started. And I was going to send out KPFA's budget with all its supporting information that we put together for the local board, but I can't make heads or tails of how you've rolled things up into the national budget. I mean, you've got variances by line item of up to $160,000 there.
This is the budget from K linked directly. From A, I'm sorry. It's linked directly. I can sort of give you that budget as a standalone if that works for you. I can give it to you as a standalone, but it's the one, what was the bottom line that the LSB, what was the bottom line of the budget that they passed, Brian? Do we have that information yet?
I have it in front of me. What we approved, and this is with 74,000 from surplus prior year, a bottom line of 153. So it would be a real surplus of about 80,000.
Yeah, that's the one I have, 153, if you notice.
So the master spreadsheet you sent out just before this meeting shows for KPFA 220 from surplus prior year to reach a surplus of 205 for surplus deficit before depreciation, which would indicate a net deficit. So I don't know. It doesn't square with what we passed.
Really? Well, that's what we should talk. Let's see what the differences are. That's the budget I have. And if it's different than the one that was passed by the LSB, we just need to see what those differences are and why they occurred.
Okay. I'm going to forward you and the committee a copy of what we approved at the LSB. So Lois will be back Monday of next week. Maybe you can sort out any differences you had with her before we sit down.
Yeah, you got 153. I got 153. Same budget. Mine says 74. We can work that out. I think there was an issue on prior year. She counted something as this current fiscal that actually came in last year. But we can sort it out. Okay.
No, I'm talking about the budget, not this fiscal.
Yeah, I am too. But
oh, no. Oh, geez, Lonnie. I'm sorry. I'm looking at forecast 2007. I had your column screwed up. I take back everything I said. You know, your columns are sometimes labeled differently at the top than they are in the middle of the document.
That's not bad. But anyway, you worked with the same one, 74,000 prior year? Same document then?
Yeah. I was confusing our 2007 projections in your spreadsheet for the 2008 budget. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I didn't mean to be in trouble.
Oh, good. Okay, Madam Chair, are you back?
Yes, I am. Thank you. I'm sorry, I had to attend to some family emergency. Mr. Wendy?
Tom. Thomas.
We have,
good. Okay, so the time is like 6:52, so do we want to... do we want to look at the motions that were, I don't know, did we address the motion? Lining, I know you discussed, I guess, briefly in terms of the headcount that was returned to the committee here. Do you want to talk about that, or did we discuss that?
Oh, you mean the staffing issue? The headcount?
Yes, holding headcount to the motion to hold headcount to the level that it was, that the ending September 30th headcount level.
Yeah, I did just allude to it,
And basically I had, yes, my recommendation was, while you were away, is that the motion having been referred to committee was neither approved nor disapproved by the P&D. So we're in a situation where we want to have that be a part of the budget process, that is, maintain headcount, or whether we are don't want it to be a part of the process, and we should have that discussion. My recommendation will be that we do hold headcount. Headcount is critical. I agree with you. We see, come to see.
Yes.
It is critical because that's how staff is added, through headcount. And if you don't know the staff being added, then you don't know the staff being added. My recommendation is that we do hold to headcount to the September 30th, 2007 level that the board had, as we had recommended to the board, and that any exception to it be part of the normal budget adjustment process that we entertain here in finance normally through the year. And I certainly don't think that any headcount increases should apply to the first quarter until we know where we stand financially. That would be my recommendation next week. I'm just putting...
Dave.
Are you through, Lonnie? Yeah, I heard Dave. We're going to get a stack. Dave and
yeah,
Ben. Are you through, Lonnie?
Yes, that would be my recommendation. I'll put
the discussion
across.
Okay, someone's phone is throwing out static. Okay, Dave?
Yeah, the reason that I asked that the PMB not pass that right at that moment and let us look at that was just for a certain, to resolve the language and some of the ambiguities, which we didn't have time to do, and they relate to things like what Jane raised, which is if you've budgeted positions but didn't fill them, what's the status of that? Also, BAI, I know, had wanted to hire somebody to do development, and Lonnie had talked about language earlier in the meeting that says you'll hold headcount steady unless you can identify somebody whose job it is to raise revenue in the near term. So my question was just how to form those things into a motion that's clear. Lonnie, when you say do it as a budget adjustment, does that include things like what Jane raised, and how does it, i.e. positions that were budgeted last year but not filled, how does it impact things like BAI wanting a development director? And also, I think the national board, or somewhere in this, we've talked about, for example, the affiliates director as part of that adjusted budget that we did there, or the budget that we did last year. She was supposed to get a half-time person. We'd also talk about a tech assistant or a tech person. Is that position filled, and is that a consultant, or is that a position? How do each of those things get affected by the motion you have in mind, and what's the specific language?
Well, let's unpack it. There are three different things involved. One of them is the issue of budgeted positions, but they were not hired. We actually have a motion that covers that. We're basically saying that we are going to hold expenses to last year's level. So if it was unexpended last year, then if the effect is to increase expenditures for FY08, then the board motion already in place says, no, you can't do that unless you reduce expenses somewhere else. That is, no net increase in expenditures is the bottom line at this point.
I don't mean to be rude, but could you speak a little more loudly? I'm in a very noisy environment.
Oh, yeah.
I'm having trouble hearing you.
In the case
you.
Of the budgeted but unexpended situation you mentioned,
right,
that the existing motion in effect says that if you want to hire, let's say, that development person at WBAI, that the effect of it cannot be to increase expenditures. You must reduce expenditures somewhere else. And
compared to actual or budget, like, Jane, what are the positions that you had budgeted but not filled last year? Jane there?
Yeah.
Well, he's saying actual.
Yeah, I'm saying actual.
Okay.
Right, technical problem. Okay. The we had a I think a 30-hour week. I think we just filled our volunteer coordinator finally, and then one other staff position.
So, and you didn't spend that money on some attempt. So basically, if we're counting actual, then you'd need to get that reapproved to get it this year. Is that right?
Right, but that is in the budget. I mean, I'll let you know that we are assuming that those positions will be filled.
But depending on the language of the motion we pass now, that might or might not, I mean, that might have to get pulled back out and reapproved, right? Is that what would happen, Lonnie?
You would have to reduce expenditures in some other area.
I don't see how that can happen because we pretty much just are bare bones anyway with our expenses. And
okay, then the second level, the second level would be that you would bring that forth and said, and the other test that I have, at least in my head, is that is the expenditure revenue producing? That is, can it pay for itself? And if it is, whether we don't have a problem. If it does not pay for itself and represent new expenditure, then it would be a handle as a budget adjustment and come before the Finance Committee, and people would look it over because adding on expense would affect everyone. And so people wouldn't want to know.
Isn't a budget adjustment something you do once you've approved a budget? You do it in mid-year when you need to spend. So we're looking at these things right now. So that was sort of my question about the language of this. If in this budget process we are looking at that budget and it does include this additional staff position, then what kind of language are we putting in a motion? Are we basically saying to ourselves that we can't consider it part of the FY08 budget process and have to do it through a separate process after the 08 budgets are passed? Is that what this comes to?
Yeah. You can do it that way. There are two ways to do it. One is to say no new expenditures following the first motion passed by the board, unless that has the impact of increasing expenditures over and above FY07 levels. That motion is already in place. If a station wanted to make an exception to that, then that would be part of the submission for their budget. And this committee, we have spots in our budget that said additional staff or additional expenditures, and they would simply highlight that, and I would bring that forth to this committee. Because if for example, the expenditures are going up and we identify that, then we would be simply looking at what part of that additional cost is staff.
Terry.
And then look at each staff.
Oh, I'm sorry, line is not through.
And then look at each staffing issue as a separate issue. For example, WBAI says, you know, we really would want to fund our fund development person. And it was in the budget, but we never expended those funds. Then you have to ask, well, what did you spend the money on? Well, because you did spend those funds somewhere. If they wanted to add a fund development staff person and it had the effect of increasing their deficit, then we on this committee and the board would have to approve an increase in a deficit budget, just as we would any other source of deficit. If they were to say, we're going to hire the fund development person and here are the funds that we've identified to pay for it, so there is no increase to the bottom line, then I don't think that's controversial.
Are we all there? Who was next? Yeah.
Terry, I'm back.
Yeah, Terry, please.
Yeah. So, is another way of what you're saying, with each budget submission from stations this year, somebody, either the CFO or the GM or somebody, should be going through the budget and identifying those major expense items, including salary and related, in detail, where the budget expense is exceeding the actual of prior year.
Yeah.
And for those, each of those items, the budget submission should either indicate where the income will be made up for the increased expense, or there should be a request for a waiver with respect to the PMB resolution on that item.
Yeah,
but the PMB hasn't made a resolution yet.
Yes, we have. We made a resolution.
We said as a guideline.
Yeah, we made a resolution to hold the expenses. We didn't make a resolution to hold the headcount.
We said as a guideline, it should be... But the whole point of sending this here was to develop some explicit language around the question of headcount and how it would be handled.
Brian here.
Well, I think it was to answer these exceptions of like people who had headcount in their budget for 07. They didn't put it in, so they were saying, well, is the headcount my budget or is it what I actually have? And Lina's point is that if what you actually have is your budget, although it's not by position, then you know, that's what you have.
Brian,
but go ahead.
I think there's two questions here, and one is financial planning, and the other one is crisis management. And I think we might be getting tangled up in technicalities, because from the financial planning point of view, I think our principal concern is the budgets. I mean, do you have a budget at each unit that's realistic about the revenue coming in, and that keeps expenses to a level where it's going to show a surplus at the end of the year? And then the question is, do you stick to that budget? Now, if you have a crisis, if the station comes in $300,000 or $400,000 short on a fund drive, what are the short-term measures you take to manage that crisis? Well, one thing you can institute is a hiring freeze, or a wage freeze or whatever, as you sort that situation out. But I don't think we need a blanket position on headcount for the network, rather than getting tangled up into the circumstances under which it will be okay to have a headcount position carry over and it won't be okay. We need to take a hard look at each budget and say, is this going to work?
Can I get on? This is Thomas.
Yeah, this is Thomas. So let me just, are you through, Brian? The
yeah.
whole point is that this is the planning tool to do that. Again, when you look at specific headcount or specific positions that were not hired, Lonnie's position, which I think is valid, that, okay, if you have a headcount of 30, but you had two positions that you didn't hire, but you're already at 30, then, you know, you cannot expect to say that, oh, I can hire those two additional people when you have already hired two, you've already traded them off. So what we're trying to do is, I think what you have to do is establish what was the budget, what do you actually have, which is always the big mystery here is how many people you have. You know, and actually someone said that was micromanagement to know how many people were actually on staff. But again, you have to know when you go into this budget how many people you have at the end of September, you know, what was the budget. And that's what you have to do to plan. It's very, very simple. But
Dave,
Thomas,
sorry,
then Dave, then we're going to have to continue this for Wednesday. Let's make it short so we can get to one of the major items in executive session that we need to do today. Please, Thomas, Dave.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Oh, it was my pleasure.
You're so sweet, babe. Why don't you move to Dave?
Let's not talk about that on the stream.
That's for executive session.
Thank you.
If way I understand, Lonnie, is that the headcount expenditure count is being confused. And actually, since I know a lot of you better than I did when I first met you in January, I don't think there's really any confusion. But I think Lonnie was being real clear, and except when he got into the thing about first of all, I think he was being real clear. It's an expenditure count. What the expenditures were for the last fiscal year will carry over. If we want to hire new people or we want to make a big expenditure, fine. We can do it. We're just going to have to find the money in something else that's going to be eliminated from the budget. In other words, we not simply set a budget. We monitor closely the expenditures, because I think the other side of it is we can set the budget, have a set of items that we reasonably anticipate the cost for, and if something comes up such that our estimate of cost is wrong, then if we find ourselves approaching the limit for 2007, we might have to cut items from the budget anyway because we're about to expend beyond what we spent in the past fiscal year. So I think that's the thing. And I actually think that as tough as that sounds, that might be the first step that we could use to for the local stations to try to pull themselves back. And I think there's one other thing though, that indirectly there's a subsidy from WPFW perhaps, in that we're so frugal, so cheap, we're not probably not even running our thing well, but we consistently stay in the black. And so to the degree we may have kept ourselves artificially in the black, our expenditures for next year could be lower than what they would have been had we spent a little bit more. But that's the circumstance. The other part that I think is confusing is Lonnie said that, okay, if taking something out of the budget won't work, we can find money such that the position pays for itself. That's not what I read in that proposed resolution. And I think we got to stop using so much discretion in interpreting these things, because I think we misinterpret things. So I think that's where we are. If there's any way we would compromise, I think maybe rather than hold everything to 2007, maybe every station would be afforded a 1% increase beyond 2007 or 2% increase beyond 2007, and that's the limit. But I think Lonnie's clear, and I think his reasons are clear. And I think we have to either draw from that wisdom or take the chance and take the risk and deal with the consequences.
Thank you. Dave?
My position is a little bit different than Brian's, because I think staff is different than other expenses. And I think the value of the kind of motion that Lonnie's talking about is that there's a higher degree of scrutiny when you add staff, because like we've seen at BAI, once you have a staff commitment, that's a person's job and their livelihood, and there's a high degree of resistance. First of all, you organize your work to have that staffing level, and second, there's a high degree of resistance to ever cut that back. Plus, you've got built-in escalations in terms of salary raise, you know, cost of living, or other types of raises, and benefits increases. So I think the point of separating it is saying that staff is different than any other expenditure. In particular, since we got the network back, since the IPMB and then the PMB, the staff, the headcount at several of the stations have expanded dramatically, and that's what's putting the ongoing pressure on. My only feeling on the framing of the motion is that I do think...
Dave, your voice.
Am I breaking up?
Yes.
Okay. Am I any better now, or am I still breaking up?
Right now, you're okay.
Okay, I think I passed a bad signal spot. So I think we should have a motion like this that basically says to any station or manager, if you're going to be expanding staff even further, there's a higher degree of scrutiny that kicks in. But that said, if we'd already approved positions for stations, then I think rather than just go through that whole thing again, they've already had the experience of having to justify it. We've agreed to it, and I think that still have the constraints on the budget, as Brian pointed out, and they need to figure out a way to cut costs. I don't think those places where we've already approved increases should be subjected to a whole other round of scrutiny. So I would prefer a motion that says any addition of staff beyond what was originally, you know, budgeted for, as opposed to actual. So I think that would solve our problem.
And then
the other question that we haven't gotten to yet is these other staff positions that we agreed to at the national level, what's going to happen to them under this scenario?
LaVarne, just briefly. Yeah, this is what I said. You had a budget in terms of headcount at the end of 07. So we need to understand that what that is. But you can't just say, well, okay, although my headcount is X, since, you know, we don't seem to know these numbers, but it's X at the end of September 30th, but you owe me two people that I haven't hired, so I get to hire two more people. This is why we brought this back, to explain that how that actually works. But after Baruti speaks, we need to go into executive session and continue this next Wednesday.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, I'm sorry,
Brian. Did you want to speak to Rudy?
I'm honored, but I'm Brian.
Yes, you are Brian, and I can know you well.
I actually don't think, Dave, that you and I disagree very much. My concern is just about a one-size-fits-all policy overall, because I think that the concerns you have raised and Lonnie have raised should be applied to every budget on a case-by-case basis. In fact, I don't think if you budgeted for something in FY07, it should automatically be cool this year, because if you're not raising what you budgeted in FY07, you need to have a conversation about that. I mean, at KPFA, we've already reduced staffing below what we budgeted for the prior fiscal year, and our budget for next year is proposing to reduce staffing further because we have a downward trend in on-air fundraising. And because the cost of health benefits are going up about 20% a year here. I mean, my point is, yes, that level of scrutiny needs to be applied. It needs to be applied to each budget on a case-by-case basis. If you try to come up with a hard one-size-fits-all policy on headcount, we're going to be arguing the minutiae of that policy and what-ifs rather than doing what we should be spending our time in, which is digging into these budgets and seeing if they hold water.
Madam Chair, I won't comment.
Yeah, Lonnie, please.
I won't comment. I just wanted to. Maybe we can move on to the executive item.
Yeah. Okay.
Because we're going to be commenting, I assume, next Wednesday, and we can maybe go over this stuff and thrash it out.
But that's the point. I think we should be going over budgets next Wednesday.
The budget requires that we also know what the numbers will be at the end of 07. I mean, you know, see, that's why, again, you have to have the variance analysis in there to show year over year, quarter over quarter. So we'll know the change from Q4 of 07 to Q1 of 08 in each quarter. So maybe, Lonnie, I looked at them. I'm trying to pull some more stuff up. Maybe I'll get with you tomorrow, next week.
Yeah.
And if we can go over a format, maybe Monday, Tuesday, I promise I'm feeling a lot better. As I said, maybe I can come up to the office and we can go over the format.
Yes, let's do that. So we have
okay. All right. Thank everyone. Is there any other comment? Shall I entertain a motion to adjourn to executive session, please? I thought I heard that from Lonnie.
Move to adjourn to executive session.
And
by the way, do we call back into the same code, or is there another code?
No, I sent the code. I sent it today. Where are you, Dave? Shall I call you and tell you?
No, I can probably. I have my computer with me. I'll
okay. Yeah,
as long as
I sent it to you this evening. It's a different call-in number, also.
Live on.
Yes.
Can you call me?
Yes, I will. Oh, hello. How are you? Absolutely. Okay, so I will talk with you in, say, 5 minutes.
Okay.
All right, thank you.